I'm not going to go like we did in detail, but I am going to mention to you. Yeah, thank you, Brother Kerry. Notice in Job chapter 14, verse 1, where I have that, man that is born of woman is a few days in full trouble. And I tried to show the people last week, and look up here, folks. You, until you know where the origin of your sorrow comes from, you're never going to know how to deal with it. Many people blame God for everything that goes wrong in their life. Many people are bitter towards, against God. And in this lesson, I'm trying to show you not to be bitter against God, but to be better towards God. Not to look at these things as a stumbling block, but an opportunity to do something for the glory of God. And I noted sometimes our burdens can be a blessing in disguise. Burdens can turn into blessings if we approach them with the right attitude. And then I took you, I took you back to Genesis and showed you where the origin of sin came in the middle of your paper. And then notice about three quarters down, it says, people are always blaming Jesus, but he's not to blame. The first Adam is. And I showed you up above there, you live in a cursed world. You live in a cursed body. You are condemned the moment you are conceived. Psalms 51:5. Listen, folks. This all comes from when Adam and Eve sinned. And this earth is cursed. Your body, listen. I was with Grandpa Lemley yesterday. I was with Florence Yost yesterday. I went to several different people yesterday. I won't mention everybody I'm with, but I was with a few people. And I was with people all this week. And, they want to be here, but they can't walk. Florence Jones has a hard time breathing. You know why? It's not that God doesn't love her. She lives in a body that's dying. Brother Bill, I've been praying for Brother Bill Young. He's got a lot of arthritis in his back. It's so painful for him. Brother Billy, it's because of the Adam in the Garden of Eden. That dirty rat subleased us to sin. And sin, for the wage of sin is death. That's why we die. That's why I'm going to show you later, we crumble up like a leaf because the leaf dries up and withers away. And that's how our bodies are. Our sin corrupts us. Nothing about God at all. It's not God's fault. My mom died of cancer. God loved my mom right to the very last minute. My mom lived in a cursed world. The reason we have diseases is because we live in a cursed world. Before Adam and Eve sinned, there never was no diseases. There was no death. There was no sorrow. They didn't know what it was to be brokenhearted or sad. All they knew was jubilant joy, happiness, and peace. But when Satan was allowed to trick her and he yielded Adam, it subleased the whole world. Listen, I've been pastoring for over 26 years. I've dealt with a lot of people. I've seen a lot of bitterness in people's heart. And they blame God. Well, my mother died, or my brother, or my sister, he had cancer, he had this. And they blame God for a situation. How could God be loving and let those people burn up? Or how can, listen, don't blame God. It's the world in a sin and destruction. This world is on the eve of destruction. By the way, Jesus came, as I was trying to show the little boys and girls today, to save us from the destruction. He even died for us so we could be saved from it. You need to realize the truth behind this so you can really deal with sorrow. And that's why I'm, Brother Bobby, that's why I'm taking this and teaching this now. I can't even teach you how to deal with sorrow until you know why you've got it. Now stay with me. Look at your paper on page one there. Look at where it says, listen. Listen, the first Adam brought all of us our woes back in the Garden of Eden. We went over this. Every disease, every heartache, every surgery, sickness you've ever had and will have in your life came because of the first Adam. Death is because of the first Adam. Jesus is the last Adam. All my grandparents, parents, and sister have passed away because of the first Adam. Romans 5:12 says, wherefore by one man, Adam in the Garden of Eden, sin, wherefore by one man, for by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. I'm going to tell you right now, that little baby, Wade's tremendous, and little Sydney's a darling. But you know what? Because their mom and daddy, they were born with sin. Because Brother Wade, as good a guy he is, he was born a sinner. And he passed it down. And by the way, his mom and daddy and his grandpa, and they just kept passing it down all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Are you with me, church? And so you need to understand this. You understand, I've had people just say, don't you even tell me nothing about God. I hate him. There's a lot of, you'd be surprised how many people hate God or blame God for the situations that they're in. You better get on your knees and say, God, take this bitterness out of my heart. And God, thank you for coming and caring about me to take me out of this situation. I can't imagine what we'd be if he wouldn't have came. Notice your paper again. I noted that Stan and Laurel said, this is another fine fix you got me in. Remember that? How many, well, the older people know what I'm talking about. That first Adam brought us condemnation to all of us. Dr. Brooks, you say, he's that dirty dog. But notice, all sorrows and burdens of life, even death, near the bottom of your paper, they came from the Garden of Eden. I keep repeating that because I want you to get this. By the way, repetition is the greatest teacher. You say, why is that guy, don't he know he's repeating himself? I know I'm repeating myself. I'm trying to get you to learn. Amen. The root of all sorrow and grief was passed down to us from the first Adam. But praise God. Notice that last sentence on the first page. Praise God, the last Adam, Jesus, he was the Christ, was made a curse for us to set us free. Now, turn your paper over. I noted in Galatians 3:13, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it's written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. So don't be bitter at Jesus. Jesus is not our problem. He's the one that came and suffered to rescue us from our curse. No wonder, Brother Carey, they call him Deliverer, Savior, Redeemer. He's come to take us from our misery and sin and sickness and death. By the way, while you're there, turn your Bible to Job. Look at Job chapter 1. Remember the great Bible figure Job? He was walked with God, the Bible said, and was renowned. And then he had a lot of tragedy come in his life. His wife, look what his wife said about him in chapter 2, verse 9. Yeah. Look at Job. The book of Job is right before the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms is about the middle of your Old Testament. So if you can find Psalms or Palms, however how you want to read that, the book of Psalms, then the Job is right in front of Psalms. And Proverbs is after Psalms, by the way. But notice what in Job 2:9, then said his wife, remember they lost their 10 children, they lost all their wealth. Do you ever have everything? If anything can go wrong, it will. It happened to him. He lost all his wealth, all his riches, everything he had, even his children. Then he's got sores from the bottom of his, soles of his feet to the top of his head. He was in misery, man. Boils. Look what his wife said. Boy, boy, I'm glad I don't have a wife like this. God help the man has a wife like this. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. Boy, that's encouraging. Probably just woke up, didn't have his coffee or nothing yet, and she's sitting there with a cigarette hanging out. Why don't you just curse God and die, Job? I know she wasn't walking with God. She wouldn't have said that. But you know what? Mrs. Job is typical for most people. When tragedies come into our life, when heartaches come into our life, when great sorrow comes into our life, when death even comes into our life, the first thing people do is they blame God. The preacher tries to comfort them. And you know how I comfort them? With God's word. It's amazing. The person they hate is the one that loves them the most. The one that they're bitter at is the one that that cares about them the most. And notice in Job there, look what he said, verse 10. He said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive? Good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil? In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Boy, that's special. Because I'm going to tell you something. When things go wrong, the first thing that comes to our mind is we want to try to blame God. We'll take our fist and say, and I've done it. So I'm glad I'm not God. I'd have killed me by now. I'm serious. I said, I'm going to wipe you off the face of the earth, you little grasshopper. Isaiah 40:20 says he looks down on the circle of the earth and the inhabitants are like little grasshoppers. Isaiah 40:22, right in there. And he can squash us anytime he wants to. That's why, by the way, that's why Columbus knew that the earth was a round circle. He read Isaiah. If you read the Bible, you'll be way ahead of your time. The circle of the earth. People used to, years ago, they thought that the earth was flat and you'd fall off. Well, Columbus read the Bible and you realized that the earth was a circle and you wouldn't fall off. That there was gravity that held it, and God's want to put the gravity in there. I want to keep going. I'll never get done this lesson. Notice, look at Job chapter 1, verse 21. He said, Job said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. And the Lord gave, and the Lord had taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. We have a fallen nature. We're born with a fallen nature. It's called the flesh. The Bible, in the book of Romans, we teach it's got three names, three identities. We call it Mr. Sin, Romans 5:12. We call it carnal mind or the earthly fleshly mind, Romans 8:7. Because a carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And then we also call it the old man, which you call your husband sometimes. And in Ephesians 4:22 it says, and put off the old man, which is corrupt. And you're born with a monster inside you. That's right. The cutest little babies are born with a monster in them. You say, my babies. No, your baby's not a monster. Your baby's precious. They're our heritage from God. It's amazing people want to kill them in abortion when they're killing God's heritage. But inside every person, you or anybody else, you're born with a fallen nature, a sin nature. A nature that you got handed back down to you from the first Adam in the Garden of Eden. Amen? And so all these things that are happening to you are because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Christ, the last Adam, he was born Marty. And he died and he arose to get us out of this predicament. Amen. Dale, if he had not come, you and I would have no hope. We would be eternally in this predicament. We'd be eternally lost. If you've never trusted Christ your Savior, you're still in that predicament. Because his birth didn't do you no good because you haven't received it. Notice, like, Rosie made 300 of those pumpkin bread. We try to give them out. We're going to give those out as people leave today. And it's like the bread that came down from heaven. Amen. If you take it and receive it, you have it. But if people just walk by and say, I don't want it, which, by the way, won't hurt me because I'll just eat it. But I do want you to have one. They're really good. But you, if you reject it, it's not my fault. If you reject the Savior, it's not God's fault. Because it's there. All you got to do is receive it. Notice, on your second page, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, but God had made Christ be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him. Look at Romans 5, chapter 5. I want you to see Romans 5. I'm almost ready to start teaching how to get comfort. But if you don't know how to deal, if you don't understand why you're being discomforted, then how are you going to deal to be get comforted? Does this make sense to you folks? Amen. Most people, Brother Carey, don't have a foundation, and that's why they wander through life not understanding what life's all about. Some girl saying, "What's it all about, Alfie?" I think that's what they said. What's it all about? I'm going to tell you, it's all about Christ if you know Jesus as your Savior. Notice in Romans chapter 5, verse 15, it's talking about this first Adam, the Garden of Eden, and the last Adam. You say, boy, preacher, you get Romans into anything you teach. There's five major doctrines taught in the book of Romans. And it's a foundational book. So basically, Bill, when I teach, I'm going to teach on it because there's always a great truth that you need to know from the book of Romans. Amen. But as an offense, so also is a free gift. For through it, the offense of many be dead, much more the grace of God. Notice by that, but not as offense, so also is a free gift. For though if the, through the offense of one, Adam, Garden of Eden, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus, hath abounded unto many. Look up here. What he's showing is this, Bobby. He's going to show you what you get from the first Adam. He's going to show you what you get from the last Adam. The first Adam in the garden gave us death, condemnation, no hope. The last Adam, Jesus, gives us justification, eternal life. Amen. Now notice, we get the death from the first one. We get grace from Christ. And not as it was by verse 16, that not as it was by one that sinned, so is a gift for the judgment was by one to condemnation. We got condemnation from Adam in the Garden of Eden. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. That's through Christ. For if by one man offense death reigned, by one man they which also received abundance of grace and a gift of righteousness. So you got to receive the gift though. Doesn't matter if you don't, if it's there, but if you don't receive it, it's not going to do you any, it's a none and void. Null and void. The gift of righteousness and shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Don't look to Muhammad. Don't look to Allah. Look to the Savior of the world. God tells you who the Savior of the world is. It's Christ Jesus, the Lord, the Son of God. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men on the justification of life. For by one man's disobedience, verse 19, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one. What was that obedience talking about? It was talking about Jesus going to the cross of Calvary and dying for our sins. See, Adam in the garden was disobedient. The last Adam, Christ, he was obedient unto death under the cross. Amen. For you and I.
Praise the Lord.
One shall be made righteous. And so, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll see that and I'll do you one. Amen. And Jesus is the answer for all people. And that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Well, that's a great truth. I hope you get it. Now look at your paper. Notice the last Adam brought you, Jesus brought you justification. Now people should not be bitter at Jesus over the sorrow and burdens of life. They should be praising him for coming to save us from all the curse and condemnation, giving us hope and a new body. Listen, I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to go to a new heaven, new earth. Man, I can't wait. I've got eternal life. I'm not going to hell. He saved me from all that. And it cost me zilch. It's free. He suffered. He died. He agonized so I could have this. Be free. Listen, why would I be mad at the one that did so much to take me out of this? I put a question there. How could anyone become so bitter at one who loves them so much and did so much to help them? So the summary of the origin of sin and sorrow and death is this. We know all men, that's you and I, all men are subject to sin. All men are subject to sorrow, death. Listen, folks, you're going to have it. You're going to have it. And that's the way of life. God's not to be blamed. But the first Adam is. Christ came to save us from this condemnation. D. Christ suffered on Calvary's cross to take us from this condemnation. E. Remember, I want you to get this. Remember, God does not hate you. I've had so many people, God must really hate me, preacher. I'm so sick, he must really hate me. No, God doesn't hate you. He really loves you. You're sick because you're born in a body that's going to be corrupt. We have diseases because we got a diseased world of sin. God does not hate you. He loves you. God's not mad at you. He cares about you. God is not punishing you to get even with you. He died to save you. That one day he will give us new bodies and remove the curse on the earth. Real quickly, look at 1 Corinthians 15:51. I'll read it when I get there. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment of a twinkle of an eye at the last trump. For the trump shall sound and the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Hallelujah! Woo! Glory to God. I'll tell you, Grandma Lemley fires me up every time. I try to go to be a blessing to Grandma. Grandma pumps me up. I get so excited being around Grandma and Grandpa Lemley. Yesterday, Grandma's telling me, I was worried because Grandpa had some real heart chest pains yesterday. And she said, preacher, we're not worried. We know we're going to be with the Lord. Matter of fact, she says, we're waiting for him to come and get us. We're excited about it. Isn't that exciting? See, the lost world don't have that promise, but we do. Man, that's exciting. I'm going, brother, one day I'm checking out of this old earth, and I'm going to get me a brand new body. I'm going to get a body that never sins, never dies, never gets sick, never gets sorrow. Woohoo! You can't buy that at Kmart or Walmart or Mark's or Kohl's or JCPenney. Are you with me? I mean, we ought to be excited about what, listen, we have got the greatest future of futures. And it's not just like, Dave and I, we love to go to Naples. We almost cry when we have to go back to from Naples. Vacations are short. Just like my class is short. Hold on. But that's early because I only got, hold on, two bells. Listen. Our joy on earth is short. But when we get to, when we get to heaven, now is there going to be joy unspeakable, Phyllis. It's going to be everlasting. It's never going to be taken away. Now we have flickering moments of joy. And in eternity, it'll be forever. Whew. Wow. I told Grandma as I left her yesterday, Hunter, I said, Grandma, I said, it's hard to leave this body, but I'll tell you one thing. Once we get out of this body, we're going to be glad we left it. Amen? Everybody clings to life, even preacher. But boy, once we get out of here, it's going to be exciting. Amen? And then note in your scriptures, I'd sure like to finish this page. Don't even turn to it, but just say, Revelation 22:3 says that he's going to take the curse off the earth. Now that we know what the truth is, let's deal with the question. Number two there on your paper. What to do when we face sorrow and burdens of life? So let's think about now. What do we do when we face sorrow and burdens of life? Well, number one, we need to seek God's strength and comfort. Not the world's. We need to see, we go to the wrong places. We need to seek God's strength. Psalms 55:22 says this, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall, the Lord. 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present, right now, help in time of trouble. Write this down in your paper. We ain't got time. In Mark 5:25-26, I was going to read it, but we don't have time. The lady, remember that Mark 5:25-26, right through there. The lady with the issue of blood. It says she had it for 12 years. She went to all the doctors and was not the better, and she had no more money. After she went and tried everything, spent all her money and nothing helped, then she said, I think I'll try Jesus. Why don't you do this? Why don't you try Jesus first and forget about the world? Not against doctors. Not against, because, by the way, doctors, the only thing they got is wisdom that comes from God. Because all wisdom comes from God. But let me tell you, listen, people seek the world for their help instead of God. I noted in here, be still and know God. Listen, God is our refuge in time of trouble. Not drugs, not alcohol. It's quiet in here now. I've got a problem. I'm gonna go get drunk. It's the way of the world. I'm living right where you're at. Come on. The first thing that comes to mind, man, this is a bad situation. I'm going to go put one on. The trouble is, you go, hey, listen, the reason I know, it's been 30 years since I drank, but that used to be my mind before I got saved. I'd be an alcoholic, and I'd say, man, I'm just going to drink all night. I'd wake up, and you know what? I had a major problem with my head, major problem with my money clip because I lost all my money. And I was worse off than when I started. The bottle, Brother Brent, the bottle never helped me out of a problem. It just made me dig it deeper and harder and more further away from help. Don't seek the world and the devices of the world for your help. Seek God. God, God, God is our refuge. God is our refuge. God is our refuge in present time. Right now. Cast your burdens on him and he shall sustain thee. Brother, these kids are drugging out, getting high on stuff. They're trying to say, I need a high. Man, I've never had a high like I had with Jesus. I mean, man, I'm going to tell you in the church time, I was running through the Canton Mall, Belden Village, I think they call it. I'll tell you during my preaching service, but I'll just give you, I was witnessing to some Jewish people. And I said, God, if you bring these people by, I'm going to witness to them. I promise I'll cry out for you. And it wasn't 30 seconds after I prayed, they came by and I said, Seed of Abraham! Seed of Abraham! I'd like to be with me in the mall. Buddy. And they stopped. All the world, all the people looking at me. I don't care. I'm high on Jesus. You know what? I've never got over getting saved. Brother Matt, it's the greatest high I've ever had, and I've never come down. Yeah, just a minute. I'm not done yet. We still got 3 minutes. I'll let you out 25 after. Listen, I have never got over being saved. I am so excited that God would love a sinner like me, that he'd save me. You might be highfalutin, but I'm just a kid off the streets. And I'm glad God loved me and saved me. And I'm going to tell the world Jesus loves them. I'm going to tell the world Jesus saves. And I'm not going to be ashamed. I don't care who looks at me. Amen? Look at your scripture there. And we're going to finish this page. We got 3 minutes. I know the bell rang, but it's only 23. Look up there with Johnny. There's only 23 after, and that's what my watch is. At 25 after, I'll let you out. Notice the scripture. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. What are you going to the world? They don't care. God's the one that cares. He proved it. He went there for you. Don't seek the comfort and strength of the world. It will fail you. Always seek the comfort of the Lord. And we'll turn to it. 1 Corinthians 1. There's no way I can finish this. I just can't. It takes time to teach. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 3. Second Corinthians, we typed it wrong. Rosie couldn't read my writing. 2 Corinthians 1, 3. Thank you. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of what? All comfort. Who comfort us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which also in any trouble, by comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted of God. And so, I just want to encourage you to seek him. Listen, claim the promise Jesus told us in Matthew 11:28. Come unto me and I will give you rest. He told Paul, 2 Corinthians 12:9, my grace is sufficient. You say, I can't make it. Listen, God says in another scripture in Corinthians, he says he'll never put on us more than we can bear. If not, he'll make a way to escape. Now, I'm going to quit there. We've got about 10 minutes of this, maybe 15 minutes next week, and then we'll go into about the home. Because I want you to see something on this latter part. I don't want to. So, I want you to seek him. One last scripture, and I'm going to close. Next week I'll be passing out a new one because we will get in about how to have a happy home next week because you're at the very end of this one. But you're right, Carrie, I'm not going to rush this. I'm going to teach it. If we have to lap over, we will. Amen. Thank you. We do. But did you notice I put in there, be still and know God? I want to note this to you before we leave. Before we act hastily on something or make a quick judgment, we need to be still, let God speak to our hearts, and we need to think on things before reacting and responding emotionally. I'm closing with this scripture, Philippians 4:8. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, I'm at the end. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Think on those things. Be still and know God. 46:10. 46:1, God is our refuge, a very present help. Very present help. He's right there right now in time of trouble. We'll wrap this all together next week, and then we'll go from this right into the family. Amen? Father, thank you for the time we've had. I pray we'll be a blessing to all the folks. Help us to scale greater heights for you in the future, I pray. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. We'll break for 5 minutes.